Welcome to the Successful Farming Podcast. I'm David Ekstrom. On today's episode, Successful Farming editor Chelsea Dinterman sat down with Brian Young, a Purdue University weed scientist, to discuss how adjuvants can complement weed management systems and potentially save you money. Before we hear from Chelsea and Brian, we'd like to thank our sponsor, FMC, the in-furrow leader. Visit your FMC retailer or infurrow.ag.fmc.com to learn more.
Control the toughest weeds with overlapping residuals. Lock in the longest-lasting control for your soybean fields. A pre-emergence application of an Authority brand herbicide plus a post-application of Anthem Max herbicide establishes the overlapping residual control key to safeguarding your soybean seasons. This pairing is a heavy-duty, economical strategy against Palmer amaranth, water hemp, kochia, and more. Visit your FMC retailer or lockin.ag.fmc.com today. Always read and follow all label directions.
I know that farmers are facing a lot of weed problems that are resistant to herbicides as well as higher input costs. So can you tell me a little bit about adjuvants and how they work and why some people might think they might complement their herbicide package?
Oh, certainly. Great question. So adjuvants are something that we use with herbicides or pesticides in general to improve how well they perform. So they don't necessarily have herbicidal activity themselves, but they are chemistry that we add to the spray solution to help the herbicide either in mixing the spray tank, delivery through the nozzle to the target, maybe absorption into the plant or surface spray coverage on the target itself. So they make herbicide or pesticide applications more effective without having any pesticide or herbicidal activity themselves. So the reason why they're becoming, front of mind right now is we've been applying glyphosate for many decades now with great success. Now that we don't see as much success, we need to bring other herbicides back into our weed management programs. And a lot of these other herbicides aren't near as forgiving in the application that we make that glyphosate was. So glyphosate would kill a lot of different weed species and a lot of different spray parameters. Now we have herbicides that don't have quite a robust weed activity, and we need to be very conscious about optimizing each herbicide application, make sure they work.
Gotcha. And I know that there are a lot of new products hitting the market every day. What kind of consideration should farmers make when they're choosing an adjuvant for their farm?
Well, number one, I would make sure that there's performance data available, maybe from third party in their local geography. Adjuvants are something that can counteract challenges from Mother Nature. So the weather is a big one. If you have dry, arid conditions, maybe you're out in the Western Plains where it's drier, you need a little bit more aggressive of an adjuvant system, or you're more concerned about the spray droplets evaporating between the nozzle and the target. When it's really dry and hot out, that can actually happen and be significant loss of pesticide that you're not getting to the target. Or maybe you have very humid and very wet soil conditions. Maybe it's irrigated. And so your plant species are more receptive to the spray application and herbicides perform better. So maybe you can use a less aggressive adjuvant there. So that's why it's important to get adjuvant performance with the herbicides you're interested in your local geography environment, because adjuvant performance varies by geography and environment. So that'd be number one. Number two is make sure that you're not buying more than what you need for an adjuvant. There's a lot of adjuvant products that are blended chemistry with multifunctions. Do you need all those functions that that adjuvant provides? Or is this just one that gets sold a lot because it serves the needs of most users? But for you, there's three different functions that it provides that you really don't need and you shouldn't be paying for. So understand what the functions are. Do you need all those functions? And does it perform in your area?
Gotcha. I know that a lot of farmers are looking at this as a type of way to kind of save some money. So what does a good adjuvant cost, and what other cost-saving opportunities do they present?
Well, the cost of a good adjuvant depends on what type of adjuvant it is, because you might have some surfactants that are, let's say, under a dollar per acre, but you might have some hybrid type products that maybe they manage the conditioning of your water supply, so hard water samples. Maybe they also manage drift to some extent. Maybe they're a defoamer. Maybe they also have another activating adjuvant, such as an oil or another surfactant in there. So the cost goes up. Cost can be as high as $3.50, maybe even $4 an acre for the adjuvant. So when you have that range, let's say just from $1 to $4.50. What is the purpose? Are you trying to, I wouldn't recommend anybody cuts their herbicide rates because they're using an ideal adjuvant. Adjuvants really should be used to prevent failure. So you're using the adjuvant to make sure you don't have to come back and treat the field again. That's my recommendation. Or you're being a better steward by not having off-target movement. So think of the adjuvant in that way, that what would it cost if I actually need to make a second application, or if I could make this one as effective as possible and there are no weed escapes. So you need to think about that. But when we look at herbicide costs today, they're more expensive than they have 5 years ago because of supply chain issues. So if you want to make sure that that $50, and I have had these, you add up the three different actives that they have in their post-emergence application, it comes up to about $50, $55 per acre in soybean. You better make sure that they work. So in that regard, a $4 adjuvant per acre is less than 10% of the overall cost. And if it can make sure that those other $55 are spent wisely, that's a good investment.
Do you know if adjuvants are facing any of those supply chain issues that we've heard herbicides might be facing?
I've heard of some limited supply chain issues, but not near as many as what I have for herbicide manufacturing. Just because the components in herbicide manufacturing are really specific to maybe that particular molecule that's being manufactured or product. Whereas in the adjuvant side, a lot of the chemistry used in production of adjuvants are used in other industries too. It's just the combination of the chemistry in a single jug that makes it probably a unique product. So I haven't heard as many issues on supply chain in the adjuvant area that I have for manufacturing of herbicides or other pesticides.
And can you tell me a little bit about kind of what implementing them on your farm would look like, kind of when and how are they applied to the crop and what that looks like?
Yeah, certainly. So most of the adjuvants that we talk about are used when you're making a foliar herbicide application. So if you just tilled the soil and you're applying a pre-emergence residual herbicide, adjuvants typically aren't used in that scenario unless there's a major drift issue. But for that application, you can just use larger droplets, higher carry volumes, and avoid drift as well. So they might be used in the pre-plant burn down application where you're trying to control all that weedy vegetation prior to planting, whether it be with Roundup or Sharpen or a Paraquat, some of those herbicides, or 2,4-D. That's where some of the adjuvants might be used in those mixtures. And it might be used in other ones that are applied post-emergence. So after the crop is up and we're applying some similar chemistry, it could be Roundup or Liberty, 2,4-D dicamba, which are the actives trying to control the weeds post-emergence. And there are some adjuvants that are highly appropriate to optimize each of those herbicides. And there are some that might move you over to more oil-based adjuvants, such as in corn, we have the post-emergence HPPD inhibiting herbicides. The bleaching herbicides, as some call them, they perform better, especially for grass control, with oil-based adjuvants. Some of the grass herbicides that we use in soybean for volunteer corn control, like a Sure-2 or Quizalofop or like a Clethodim, they perform better with oil in that herbicide mixture as well. Just have to make sure that oil to optimize your grass herbicide is also compatible with other herbicides in the mix that are targeting your broadleaf species.
Before we hear more from Chelsea and Brian, we'd like to take a moment to highlight today's sponsor, FMC. Strong early season defenses against seedling insects, soil diseases are key to a successful season. Ag Day programming is sponsored by Authority Supreme Herbicide. Championship soybean seasons start with pre-emergence control of the toughest weeds. Outlast the competition with Authority Supreme Herbicide.
The greatest herbicide of all time earned its title by defending your soybean fields. Authority Supreme Herbicide's low-use rate formula delivers longer-lasting control of broadleaf weeds and grasses, providing you with the best-in-class combination of Group 14 PPO herbicide sulfentrazone and Class 15 molecule pyroxasulfone that outlasts the competition. We're Authority Supreme Herbicide from FMC, and we play to win. Learn more at authoritysupreme.ag.fmc.com. Always read and follow all label directions.
And now, back to the podcast.
And so beyond the application process, are there any other management considerations farmers would need to make if they implemented this on their farm?
Well, I think when you talk about the adjuvants that you're using, it's hard not to also talk about the nozzles that you're using. So the spray nozzles can influence what you need to do with your adjuvant use as well, because there's a wise weed scientist out of Nebraska many years ago that said, manage spray drift first mechanically. So that's use the right nozzle, and then optimize it secondarily with chemistry. So like a drift control agent that you might use. You might already start out with great droplet size spectra just from the nozzle. So do you really need some sort of drift control or spray retention aid in as an adjuvant? In many cases, that answer might be yes. There might be some cases where you don't want to go further down that road and you're already adequate with what you've done mechanically through a nozzle. So some consideration of the nozzle needs to be in play.
And so I know a lot of farmers are also worried about resistance to herbicides we have on the market right now. Could implementing adjuvants kind of mitigate that any way?
Yeah, certainly. So I think some of the ways that we applied glyphosate in the past, part of it had to do with the nozzles, the droplet size, and some of the drift control agents that we used did not optimize glyphosate. And I think it progressively led towards glyphosate resistant weeds because we didn't apply glyphosate in an optimal manner. It's so forgiving that we applied it in all sorts of forms and, you know, led to eventual failure. That would be true for any of today's herbicides that we're using to address these herbicide resistant weeds, the weeds that are resistant to Roundup. We need to make sure that we optimize those, because if you don't use the right adjuvant to optimize activity, it'd be the same thing as cutting the herbicide rate, because it's not going to be optimized and leading potentially towards progressive resistance evolution.
So is there anything else that farmers need to know about implementing adjuvants on their farm?
Well, again, it's a little bit difficult because you always think about the return on investment. Every time you apply an adjuvant, you might not see the optimal or the ideal or maximum, that's probably a better word, maximum return on investment, because adjuvant systems are more like insurance policies. They allow you to apply with confidence so that you don't have any unavoidable herbicide failure. Now, if you have ideal conditions for the herbicide to work, weather conditions, small weeds, good growing conditions, maybe that adjuvant system isn't benefiting you as much. So the return on investment is going to be much more reduced. But it's under those challenging conditions that you see that larger portion of return on investment. And it's just going to be inconsistent because it depends on each field, the weed stages, the herbicides being used, environmental conditions that determine the return on investment from a adjuvant system. But the best we can do and what we need to do is optimize every time we apply that herbicide. Choosing the right herbicide is important. Choosing the right adjuvant can be just as important, because if we fail on that application in terms of what adjuvant to use, the whole herbicide application can fail. So they need to spend as much time focusing on which adjuvant system they use, just like they do about which herbicide they need to be using.
This podcast is brought to you by InFurrow Leader FMC. Visit your FMC retailer or infurrow.ag.fmc.com to learn more. You can read more about Weeds Playbook in Successful Farming Magazine and agriculture.com.